Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Today, as we begin our time together in the letter of 2 Corinthians, it might be helpful to remind ourselves of the conditions and of the challenges that confronted the Apostle Paul and that confronted that church in Corinth. Corinth was a city that stood at the crossroads of the northern and southern regions of Greece. So it was strategically located along a major trade route as a wide variety of people from a wide variety of backgrounds passed through that city. Corinth also had two seaports, one on the eastern side of the city, one on the western side of the city. And so ships from every nation loaded and unloaded a wide variety of cargo there. And as a result, the city prospered, and it became a city of great wealth. And Corinth was also a city that enjoyed the status and the privilege of being a Roman colony with all of those benefits. And it was the administrative center for the Roman government in that region. In addition to that, the city hosted a major sporting event every 2 years that brought in a large number of visitors and a great amount of revenue for the people in that city. And to a certain degree, the city of Corinth had a transient population of businessmen, of soldiers and sailors, of government officials, of merchants, of people from every walk of life. But Corinth was also a city of great sin of every kind, so that even the very name Corinth became synonymous with unbridled immorality and with flagrant ungodliness that had no limit to the depth of its depravity. And it was to this city that Paul went to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while many Jews in that city did not believe the message of salvation that Paul preached, many of the Gentiles did believe. And so a church fellowship began to meet together. And Paul stayed there for about 18 months, teaching these new believers and grounding them in the faith. And after 18 months, he left Corinth, and he went north to the city of Ephesus in the region of Asia Minor. And while he was in Ephesus, word came back to him that there were problems. There were big problems in the church in Corinth. The thinking of the world, the sin of this world, had found its way into the church. And so Paul wrote a letter to them concerning the reports of their immorality. But we have no record of that letter. But even after they received that letter, Paul was informed that the problem still existed in that church. And then the people in the church in Corinth wrote a letter to Paul with questions. Questions about how they should deal with the issues that they face there. So, Paul wrote another letter to them. The letter that we know today as 1 Corinthians. And Paul may have even visited that fellowship sometime after they received that letter in apparently what was a painful and a sorrowful visit. So once again, he left Corinth and he returned to Ephesus, where he wrote a third letter, a strong letter. And we have no record of that letter either. There were messengers of Satan seeking to destroy the people in that church fellowship. And Paul received word of the continuing difficulties in that church. But by this time, he had left Ephesus, and he was in the province of Macedonia, in the northern part of Greece, perhaps in the city of Philippi. And it was at this time that he wrote the letter that we have before us today, the letter of 2 Corinthians. And I think that it would not be overstating the situation by saying that the church in the city of Corinth was a troubled church. It was a church with great difficulties. But this shouldn't surprise us, should it? Because we live in a troubled world, don't we? And we live in a world that's full of difficulties, a world that's full of sin. And so it makes it especially difficult and challenging for those of us who belong to Jesus Christ and who desire to live a godly life in Him. It makes it difficult, doesn't it, to remain unstained by the world? But in the abundance of our difficulties, in the abundance of our afflictions, Paul reminds us that God will give us an abundance of comfort to help us face those problems. But despite what some people may think, He may not remove those problems, but He will provide a way through those problems. Perhaps so that we can see if our faith is genuine, see if our faith is real. But perhaps to develop endurance and perseverance in our lives. Perhaps to break our dependence upon the solutions to our problems that come from the world rather than come from God. Perhaps even to purge us of our sinful behavior. Perhaps to teach us obedience to Him and to His Word. Perhaps to deepen our love for Christ so that we become more like Him. So that through the tears and through the pain, we will realize that our only hope is in Christ and in Him alone, as He comforts us in our affliction. As it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, since He is on our side, no matter what we may face, who can stand up against us? We are in the hands of our sovereign Lord, who upholds us as we pass through the fire of our afflictions. He upholds us by the word of His power, it says in Hebrews 1:3. So Paul begins this letter of 2 Corinthians, and he affirms that he too is in the hands of God. I am an apostle, he says in verse 1. I am a messenger of Jesus Christ, a messenger who has not been appointed by the will of man, a messenger who has not been qualified because of my own credentials, because of my own background. But I am what I am by the will, by the grace of God. That is the basis for my authority to bring the word of God to you. So pay close attention, because I speak for him. And as I write this letter to you, Timothy, our dear brother in the faith, is here with me. And I address this letter to the church of God, to a community of believers who belong to Jesus Christ. So be aware that any threat to the purity of the church, church which belongs to him, anything that diminishes our devotion to Christ stands in opposition to God. Something for the church in the city of Corinth to think about. Something for us to think about as well. And Paul says, I also address this letter to all of the saints, hagios in Greek, to all of those who have been set apart by God in Christ, who are living throughout the region of Achaia, in the southern part of Greece. Paul says in verse 2, grace to you all, hagios in Greek, may the favor of God rest upon you. May you know that he cares for you. May you rest in the peace that we now have from God our Father through Christ Jesus our Lord. So now, since we have peace with God through the blood of Christ, we can live at peace with God and with each other. Blessed, he says in verse 3, eulogetas in Greek. It is a word that means to speak well of. Paul says, I speak well of God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the essence of the Father, who is the exact representation of his nature, it says in Hebrews chapter 1. Our God is the God of mercies, oiktermos in Greek, the God who has compassion on us, as we're told in Psalm 103, where it says, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, on those who reverence him. He has mercy on us, it says, because he knows what we are made of. After all, he's created us. He is mindful that we are just dust. He is the God of all comfort, it says in verse 3. Paraklesis in Greek. He is the one who comes alongside of us and who strengthens us, the one who comforts us in all of our afflictions, thlipsis in Greek, in all of the pain, in all of the suffering, in all of our distress, in all of the pressure that is bearing down upon us. He is the one who provides that strength and peace as trouble rolls over the top of us. But that comfort is not only for our benefit, Paul adds in verse 4, but it is also so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction of their own, to comfort them with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Our personal experiences with the Lord and how he has dealt with us, equip us to minister to others. Others who are in the midst of their own difficulties for Christ. For just as the sufferings of Christ, the misunderstanding, the hatred for him, the rejection, the persecution, the betrayal, all of these things are also ours, Paul says, in abundance. Peresuo in Greek. They overflow over the top of us. So also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Here's the principle. The comfort that we receive from Christ will be in direct proportion to the suffering that we experience. Not suffering because of our sin, but suffering because we belong to him, suffering because we are living for him. So if we are afflicted, Paul points out in verse 6, it's for your comfort, so that we may comfort you. And it is for your salvation, soteria in Greek, for your deliverance, so that we might encourage you as you go through that fiery ordeal of your own for your faith. So if we are comforted by God, Paul says, well, it's for your comfort as well, so that we might comfort you. Comfort which is effective, he says. Effective in your patient enduring, huhamone in Greek. It is effective in helping you to persevere. We comfort you so that you might persevere through your difficulties as you patiently and joyfully endure the circumstances and the consequences of faithfully following Jesus Christ. As you go through the same sufferings which we also suffer, Paul says, so that we can encourage one another as we suffer together for Christ. Because the suffering for Christ is a mark of a true believer. And as we suffer together, we can comfort one another together in the Lord. Paul says in verse 7, so our hope of peace in Greek, our expectation for you who are suffering for the sake of righteousness is firmly grounded. Belaas in Greek. We are confident in the genuineness of your faith. Why? Well, because we know you are sharers. Koinonos in Greek. You are partners in our suffering for Christ. And also you are sharers. You are partners in our comfort in Christ. And we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, Paul says in verse 8, of the affliction which came upon us in the Roman province of Asia, in present-day Turkey, that we were burdened, bareo in Greek. We were weighted down excessively in our affliction for Christ, even beyond our strength, beyond our ability to bear. We felt like we were being crushed by the weight of that affliction. Some of us know how that feels. We despaired, Paul says, exa pareo in Greek. We were at a loss. We We were without resources within ourselves even to sustain our life. Seemed like there was no way out. Indeed, he says, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. We thought that we would surely die. But the Lord had another purpose for that affliction. It was so that we would not trust in ourselves, but that we would trust in God, who raises the dead, the same God who delivered us, Ruamai in Greek, who rescued us from so great a peril of death. And according to his plan, according to his desire for us, he will deliver us, Paul says, the one on whom we have set our hope. He will yet deliver us. As the prophet Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3, in those familiar verses, the Lord's loving kindnesses, his mercies, indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Every day, great is thy faithfulness. And Paul adds in verse 11, we are thankful for you as well, also joining in helping us. How? Paul says, through your prayers. That thanks may be given to God by many people there on our behalf, for the favor that has been bestowed upon us in rescuing us through the prayers of many faithful brothers and sisters. He has given us the grace. He has given us the comfort, abundant comfort, to suffer abundant affliction for Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.